God knows what the title for tonight is about, don't we?
Stars.
Could be. Could be. Yeah, we're going to talk about stars tonight and shining like stars. Might put that PowerPoint one on, please, Stephen. That is an actual photograph of stars. Magnified greatly, but it's only a very small section of the universe. You can see for the amount of stars is there. If you looked up into the sky, you wouldn't be able to see that many stars with your naked eye. So that's done with a telescope. But you can see how many there actually are. There's billions and billions of stars. How many would you say were on that picture? How long would it take to count them? Quite a long time, wouldn't it? And that's, as I said, that's only a tiny part of the universe. That's just a little bit what they took a photograph of. I think what you've learned tonight already about the stars is that they're at varying distances from the Earth, aren't they? And they're at various stages in their life, in the stars' lives as well. Each one's different. Yeah, it says in the Bible that God knows everyone. It's on, Stephen.
It's better. We're in milk. Right, so the next slide, please, Stephen. In Genesis chapter 1, I'm just going to read you this verse. Verse 16 and 17, this is what it says. Then God made the great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So God actually made the stars. Now, what I'm going to tell you tonight isn't very scientific. It's a matter of faith. You've just got to believe by faith, haven't you, the things that it says in the Bible. There's all sorts of people that will tell you how stars came about by planets exploding or gases exploding or whatever. And that might be true, but God made something to make the planets explode. God made the gases that the planets are made out of, didn't he? Because nothing comes from nothing. So, in Genesis 1, verse 16, it says that God made each and every star. How did he make them? I've no idea. How long did it take? Well, it says in the Bible, a day. Well, whether that's a literal day or a day is 1,000 years, we don't really know, do we? It doesn't really matter that much, but we have to accept by faith that God made the stars. What are stars? You all know this one. You've answered it already today, haven't you? Gas or explosions of gases from millions of miles away. Millions of light years, in fact. Come on, the next one up, please, Stephen. In Psalm 147, verse 4, it says, "He counts the number of stars and he calls them by name." Who does it mean when it says he counts the stars? It's talking about God. Now, can you imagine what a task that must be? Not only counting them, but also naming them. If I tried to go around in here and name everybody, I would probably get it wrong. If I tried to remember everybody's name just on our street at home, I would probably even get that wrong, even though there's not many people there. But can you imagine that God calls them by name? Every single star. There's also stars that's been destroyed and gone already, isn't there? And shooting stars which totally destroy themselves and God knows they've gone. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Something else that we have to accept by faith. How many different names would there have to be to name all the stars? That's an awesome thing, isn't it? A mind-blowing thing. Put the next one up, please, Stephen. Psalm 8, verse 3 to 4, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" And it says there that the stars and the sun and the moon are the work of God's fingers. Now, did he actually form them with his fingers, or did he just say, you know, come into being? But wherever, it again, states the fact that God made the stars and the moon and the sun. But it also carries on there to say, what is man that you are mindful of him. When we think about the awesomeness of time and space, moon and stars which God has placed in time and space, how do we compare to the greatness of the universe? Or what qualifies us to be known and loved by the awesome Creator God? Next verse we're going to look at tells us a little bit about that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. God has called us family. God has called us friends, and he's named us. So just like the stars have all got names, God has also named us. Maybe the name that we have now is not the name what God has given us, because it says when we get to heaven we'll have a new name, don't we? Whatever that name is, I don't know. But God has named us. We're more important to God than stars, aren't we? I would think so, because God didn't send Jesus to save the stars, did he? He didn't send him even to save the animals, which are alive, but he sent him to save us, didn't he? That means that we're more important than stars, doesn't it? And the universe to God. It says there that the whole family in heaven and earth is named by God. The whole family of heaven is part of one great family, the family of God. Now, there's a lot of differences, but I thought of one major difference between how God treats stars and how God treats us. When God made the stars, yeah, he made them all individually, he made them to shine, and he put them in a certain place. And then God left them there. Now, I don't think God visits the stars. He knows them, he knows their name, but he doesn't visit them. But yet, in the same way, God has placed us in time and space and history, and made us like stars to shine for him, but yet he stays with us, doesn't he? He's our friend. He's not only a creator that has just made us, and like it says, he threw stars into space. He didn't just throw us into time and space. He put us into a strategic plan. He placed us in a certain place at a certain time. And then he takes care of us. He's with us every minute of every day. Stars are just placed in time and space to do and left to do their thing. But we were placed in a strategic time and place so that God could use us to fulfill his purpose. We have a personal friend. We have a Saviour, we have a Father. Another awesome thing is that he called us by his name. We're called by his name. You know, if you adopted a child, officially that child takes your name, doesn't it? And it says in God's word that we've been adopted by God. So we take the name of God, don't we, as our name. We're his children. With the next one up, please, Stephen. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Our response to God's calling and placing us is that we have to shine brightly for him, being lights of hope and peace and love in our generation, in the place where God has told us to be, that we may draw people to God and that they may see something in us, you know, which is different from the world. I should imagine that most of the places you look in the world, and when you look at the news on the telly, most of the things that you see are darkness, you know, and evil, aren't there? It's not very often they report something good, is it? But yeah, we're called to be light, we're called to be love and hope and peace. It says that in God's word that we're the fragrance of Jesus on this earth, aren't we? And what are they smelling? My question to finish with tonight is, if you, as a Christian, had to be described as a kind of star, or a stage that a star was at, what would you be? Would we be a dead star, one that's burnt out? Would we be a shooting star that is moving about? Would we be a bright star that is still brightly burning for God? I'll leave you to answer that. Amen.